One of the most annoying things in life is the constant bickering that goes on between the Republicans and the Democrats. It drives me crazy. What about you? We can't live with them. We can't live without them. And to make it worse, we are all card-carrying members of one or the other. At least most of us are. Well, things were not much different in the days of Jesus. There were two parties. There were two groups of people who were their leaders. There were the Pharisees. And there were the Sadducees. And like our Congress, both of those groups had a great deal in common, but they had very different viewpoints on many issues, varying widely in their viewpoints. The Sadducees were the most stubborn of the group. They did not believe in the prophetic books of the Old Testament. They only believed in the first five books of the Old Testament, the Pentateuch. They did not believe in angels. I believe in angels. They did not believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. They did not believe that a Messiah was going to come. They did not believe, and this is a big one, in the resurrection of the dead. The Pharisees, by contrast, said, yes, there's a resurrection. The Sadducees said, no. The Sadducees believed that life ended with death. And some people have made a joke out of that. And they've said that that's where they get their name. Because they don't believe in eternal life, they are sad, you see. Moan. I'm sorry about that. What about you? What do you think happens when you die? I think I know what most of you believe. In fact, probably all of you believe, but we live in an overwhelmingly secular culture today where there is tremendous ignorance about God and about God's word. Many people, including some Christians, are so consumed with the circus of their lives that they don't even think much about God or about His Word. Things of God are just foreign to them. I sincerely hope that I am not stepping on the toes of anyone in here right now. But if I am, I hope it hurts. Have you heard the term submarine Christians? This term was born to describe some people who only surface a few times of the year. Three times, actually. In this order: Easter, Christmas, and are you ready for it? Mother's Day. Really? Mother's Day? People, Mother's Day is not a biblical liturgical holiday. You knew that, right? I don't want to diminish the importance of our mothers, but it's really a commercial day. Okay, submarine Christians tend to surface on Easter morning, and when a pastor stands before a congregation on Easter and sees unfamiliar faces in the room, the pastor usually feels compelled to preach about the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, as well as the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead for all of us. After all, the pastor may not get another chance. Now, I don't believe I have that challenge here today, because this room is filled with familiar faces. However, I do not know what each one of you believes about this doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. So if you are a seasoned Christian who does not need to hear yet another sermon on the resurrection of the dead, please be aware that there may be someone in here who needs to hear all about it. There may be a secret Sadducee in here. This is Luke 20, verse 27. Some of the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question. Stop right there. Wouldn't you love to be able to ask Jesus some questions? What would you ask him? And would you be prepared for any answer that he might give you? Just a thought. Think about it. Back to the Sadducees. One of the things you need to know about them is that their hero was Moses. So here's the conversation between Jesus and the Sadducees in Luke 20. Some of the Sadducees who say there is no resurrection came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married a woman and died childless. The second brother and then the third married her, and in the same way, all seven brothers died, leaving no children. And finally, the woman died too. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? And the Sadducees thought that that would make the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead seem absolutely ridiculous. And none of their Jewish rabbis had been able to convince them otherwise. But then they came to the Rabbi of Rabbis, the Son of God. And first, he gave them some theology about heaven. Jesus replied, well, the people of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who were considered worthy of taking part in that age and in the resurrection from the dead will neither marry nor be given in marriage, and they can no longer die, for they are like angels. They are God's children, since they are children of the resurrection. Yeah, Sadducees has heard all that before. But then Jesus referred to their hero, Moses. And he gave them an answer that shut them up. It's in verse 37, Jesus continued, but in the account of the burning bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise. For Moses calls the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive. Some of the teachers of the law responded, well said, teacher. And no one dared to ask him any more questions. Oh, I assume he didn't convince everyone with that answer. And that's probably the way it was with Paul in Athens. When he preached about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, it says in Acts 17, beginning in verse 32, when they heard from Paul about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. Which one are you? Do you believe in life after death, or do you just believe in death? If you believe in Jesus Christ, then you must believe in the resurrection of the dead. Now, a lot of people fear death. I'm not talking about the fear of dying. That's different. I'm talking about death itself. A lot of people fear death. Do you dread death? Do you dread dying? Is that dread robbing you of joy in life? Are you sad, you see? I'm sorry. Listen, it says in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 8, no man has the power over the wind to contain it. So no one has the power over the day of his death. How true. So if you cannot control it, why bother fretting about it? Max Lucado wrote this: death is public enemy number one. So buckle up, sleep more, exercise daily, eat less fat, more protein, less caffeine, more vegetables. Ducking the shadow of death dominates our days, he said, but no one ducks it forever. Upon hearing the grim reaper at your door, what price would you pay for an extension? I want to remind you of this wonderful truth from Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. Jesus shared in our humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. If you fear death, Jesus Christ wants to set you free from that fear. And Jesus not only taught that God is the God of the living, that's what he said to the Sadducees, but Jesus went even further. On that Sunday morning in Jerusalem, he defeated the enemy of the living. He defeated Satan himself. Satan is the author of death, and Jesus Christ is the victor over death. Amen, somebody. When Jesus Christ walked out of his tomb that day, all the demons who laughed on Friday ran in fear on Sunday. They knew without a doubt who was the winner. And they knew that death was defeated by Jesus Christ. The Sadducees made a huge mistake when they rejected the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. In fact, they were dead wrong. See what I did there? They were gambling with their souls when they thought that earthly life is all there is. And if you think that way too, you're dead wrong too. That same story is found in Mark chapter 12. And in that account, Jesus added a sentence. He turned to the Sadducees with these four words: you are sadly mistaken. Now, he did not just say those words to them. He shouted them. How do we know that? Because from the original language, we understand that he shouted. So in the English, they put an exclamation point in your Bible to emphasize the fact that in the original language, he said, you are sadly mistaken. People, make lots of mistakes in life. And of course, we hope to learn from them all. Athletes make mistakes and they lose the game. But they hold on to the hope that in the next game they're going to make it up. They're going to have a second chance. But on this one question of the resurrection of the dead, no one. No one can afford to be sadly mistaken. On this subject, brothers and sisters, there is no second chance. Now, at least some of the Sadducees must have realized how wrong they were when they saw that empty tomb in Jerusalem. Jesus Christ did not just have to tell them how sadly mistaken they were. He showed them. Isn't that the best way for a teacher to teach something? Don't tell me. Show me. Show me. And he did. As part of his teaching to everyone about life after death, Jesus did some more showing. He showed himself to the men on the road to Emmaus. And it shook them up. He showed himself to his disciples in the upper room. And it shook them up. He showed himself to hundreds of witnesses. And it shook them up. He showed himself to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. And that really shook him up. And guess what? He hasn't stopped shaking people up. He has not stopped showing himself to people. Ask anyone who has met the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask anyone who has experienced a miracle in their life. It changes them. Ask anyone whose life has been completely changed from sad you see to joyful you are by the power of the living, resurrected Jesus Christ. You cannot afford to be wrong about this. You cannot afford to be sadly mistaken about this. I want you to remember those immortal words of the Apostle Paul in the classic passage that we've already talked about earlier today in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'm starting in verse 12. These words smack right in the face of the Sadducees and anyone else who doubts what we are here celebrating today. Under the inspiration and the power of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians, "How can some of you say that there's no resurrection from the dead? If there is no resurrection, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have also fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." My friend, whether you are a regular worshiper here, an occasional worshiper here, a visitor here, we do not want you to live under pity. We want each and every person here to rejoice in the knowledge of the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed, and you will also rise with him. Hallelujah. John Newton is the man who wrote the words to one of our favorite hymns, Amazing Grace. And this is another poem of John Newton. I want to close with this. It's not a short poem, but it's a powerful poem. Listen. I am, saith Christ, our glorious head. May we attention give the resurrection of the dead, the life of all that live. By faith in me, the soul receives new life, though dead before. And he that in my name believes shall live, to die no more. The sinner, sleeping in his grave, shall at my voice awake. And when I once begin to save, my work I ne'er forsake. Fulfill thy promise, gracious Lord, on us assembled here. Put forth thy spirit with thy word, and cause the dead to hear. Preserve the power of faith alive in those who love thy name. For sin and Satan daily strive to quench the sacred flame. Thy power and mercy first prevailed from death to set us free. And often since, our life had failed if not renewed by thee. To thee we look. To thee we bow. To thee for help we call. Our life and resurrection thou, our hope, our joy, our all. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, there may be some of us here who need to confess to you that when we come to this glorious day each year, it just seems like a routine. A routine to sing, Christ the Lord is risen today. He is risen, he is risen indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Father God, restore to us as children, hearing for the first time this wonderful, glorious news that you defeated death, that you are alive, and that we will be resurrected and be with you. Renew in us the excitement and the joy of that truth everlasting. And may we live as victorious Christians every day of the year, and may we treat every day as Resurrection Day. To you be all the glory and the honor and the power and the praise. We lift the name of Jesus Christ high today. We look to you, we bow to you, we honor you, we thank you, we celebrate you, we love you. Thank you for loving us. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.